This is Billie Eilish, and our guest calls this song an elaborate and inventive sonic statement. It's called Bury a Friend. Scared of me? Why do you care for me when we all fall asleep? Where do we go? You may recognize Eilish's shock of neon or sometimes blue hair. She's one of this year's most popular new artists, and her debut album is a major piece to the soundtrack of 2019. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, in for Kate Archer-Kent, and this hour is a recap of our year in music. Join us. What artist or song or album encapsulates your 2019? What did you have on repeat? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Stephen Thompson. He's a writer and editor and reviewer for NPR Music. Stephen grew up in Wisconsin and frequently appears as a panelist on All Songs Considered. Stephen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's great to be here.
You know, new music seemed to dominate the list this year. We just heard Billie Eilish. That's an artist just shy of 18 years old. What is it about her style?
Well, I think there's real invention in the mix of her songs. She's not just what people think of as like shallow pop music. There's this density to songs like Bury a Friend, where there's just something whizzing out of every corner of the mix. It's just a very, to me, it's an exciting sound that moves beyond what people think of as the convention of like quote unquote shallow pop music.
And do you hear echoes of other artists in there, or is this really a kind of unique thing to Billie?
I mean, everybody has echoes of other artists, especially somebody who's, you know, who's 17 years old. They're going to be influenced. I mean, everybody's influenced by other music. But I do think that there is a really distinct quality to her music. You can instantly identify it as her.
And that's something that not all artists can handle. I mean, to create their own identity, even if it is inspired by others.
Yeah, and you know, she works in close concert with her brother Phineas, who produces and co-writes her music, and you can really just hear a really kind of clever marriage of her point of view and this very distinct production sound. So her voice is distinct, the music around her is distinct.
And that her brother is 22, so also not like he's been doing this for 20, 30 years on his own. How have they experimented with sound on this record?
I mean, we could go into, deep production techniques. I just think there's a very three-dimensional quality to this music. You can really just hear... You can just hear a lot of effects and processing on her voice, but also just a real like lyrical point of view. Like she sounds so 17 years old, I think it really speaks to people like my kids, but there's a sophistication to it as well.
Right. And almost a strange nostalgia to it. Like it takes you back to feeling like you were 17 years old.
We're all 17-year-olds just under the surface.
Right. Whether we want to go there or not, I understand. Yeah. Billie Eilish in particular has had a really successful year. Her songs were stays on the charts. She was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live's premiere, Grammy nominations for Song Record and Album of the Year. I mean, where does she go from here?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on her second album, but right now, like, she's absolutely dominant, and it'll be fascinating to see how easy or difficult that is to maintain. That level of stardom is that's an imposing battle to keep that up.
Does it remind you of any artists that we've seen in the past when they've just kind of hit the stage?
I mean, it is definitely like it's rare to see an artist kind of go from debut album to complete juggernaut that way. And I think that's been one of the real themes of 2019, especially in pop music, is that the biggest songs of the year, the songs we absolutely could not escape on pop radio, were by very young, very new artists who were new, certainly, to the pop landscape. I mean, there was a time this summer where it basically seemed like there were three songs on pop radio. There was Billie Eilish had a song called Bad Guy. Lizzo, who we'll talk about in a minute, I'm sure, had a song called Truth Hurts, which I love, except for the part where it name checks the Minnesota Vikings. And then there's Lil Nas X, who had the song Old Town Road and various kind of remixes of that song. That song topped the Billboard Hot 100 for 19 consecutive weeks. So you had kind of these three artists who were new to the pop landscape, who were just absolutely dominant. And I think that was kind of what was most unusual about this year, was you didn't necessarily have as many veteran artists who were completely inescapable.
NPR Music, Stephen Thompson's helping us through the year in music. And you're part of this conversation. Did you see any stellar performances this year? Or what pop songs got stuck in your head throughout 2019? You can join us at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Well, you mentioned Lizzo. We can't escape it. She's an artist who burst into the mainstream this year. We heard a little bit of her earlier. Let's take a listen now. This is Like a Girl. And there you have it, Stephen. In her own words, Lizzo says she's switching up the messaging. How did Lizzo become such a big part of music this year?
It's been, I think, really exciting to see. I have been raving about Lizzo since, I think, 2016.
An early adopter,
I'm proud to say. You can go online at NPR Music and find old performances of hers that we have recorded and archived. So seeing her breakthrough has been a joy. I mean, one thing that really jumps out to me about Lizzo, when you listen to her album, 'Cause I Love You, which is one of my favorite albums of the year, there's a lot of laughter in the mix. Like, she will actually just throw in a laugh. And I think that sense of joy and playfulness and silliness, coupled with these themes of self-affirmation, it's been a real joy. I think there's genuine joy to her music that has been a real breath of fresh air in 2019.
Lizzo's from Minneapolis by way of Detroit, and so she's been a name in the Midwest for a few years.
Yeah.
What was it that prompted the rest of the world to wake up to Lizzo?
I mean, I think she put out this great record. I mean, one of the things that's been fascinating about her to me, as somebody who likes to kind of study the pop charts, is two of her biggest songs of 2019, and she had a bunch of hits this year, were actually from recordings that came out a few years ago. The song "Truth Hurts" that I mentioned, she released in the fall of 2017, and it took almost 2 years for it kind of to rise up to the top of the pop charts, where it suddenly sat at the top of the pop charts for a bunch of weeks. She followed that up by kind of reissuing her song "Good as Hell," which is from 2016. And, you know, so it's just fascinating to see, like, the world has caught up and now she's kind of going back and able to resurface her older songs and make them big hits.
And does new music like Lizzo usually capture most of our attention, or is this different this year?
Well, I guess it's just been interesting. Like, we think of the pop charts as this very ephemeral thing, right? Like, oh, that's this 3 minute, you know, rush of excitement, and then it just kind of gets washed away for the next big thing. And it's easy to think of pop music in that way, but the lifespan of a pop song has gotten longer and longer as our news cycles have gotten shorter and shorter. And I would be fascinated to see, like, a sociological study of why that is. And I think, like, in the din of modern life, we cling to pop songs and keep them around longer than ever, which I think is interesting.
We're talking with Stephen Thompson from NPR Music about the best songs, albums, artists, and trends of 2019. What songs do you remember from this year? Which artists have you discovered? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Singer-songwriter Maggie Rogers released her debut studio album in January. We're hearing the song "Falling Water." I'm Keely Boltina, and it's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Arguably the song of 2019, Old Town Road by Lil Nas X has been released, re-released, and remixed all year long. It reignited our debate about what makes country music country and who gets to decide. Take my horse through the old town road. I'm gone.
I got the horses in the back.
We're talking about music this year on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're moving into the country category. What did you have on repeat this year? Did you hear something in country music in 2019 that sounded fresh and new? Maybe you stumbled over music that made you a little nostalgic. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. Stephen Thompson stays with us. He and NPR correspondent Linda Holmes created and developed NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, and now he's a regular panelist there. Stephen, you mentioned it earlier. Give us a summary of the journey that Old Town Road has taken this year. It's been a long one.
It has been a long one. You know, for such a, in some ways, a simple song, you know, Lil Nas X bought a beat off the internet and, you know, created this kind of loping country hip hop hybrid around it, and then managed to keep it on top of the pop charts forever. And it is a fascinating journey because it started so modestly, but then, like, once he found success with the song, he just has been very savvy about keeping himself around. And it's so interesting when you first hear that song and you've never heard of the guy before, and you think, oh, this is a novelty song. And then, you know, he remixes it with Billy Ray Cyrus, he remixes it with BTS, he, you know, just finds ways to kind of freshen up the song. And then he's able to, like, release a kind of short, like, EP-length album and then get another hit. And I think he is an artist where it's very tempting if you are kind of a longtime student of pop music, you look at it and you think, oh, it's a one-hit wonder, you know, or it's a novelty song. And he's been so clever about kind of subverting that and sticking around to the point where now, you know, a year later, he's nominated for all these Grammy Awards, including not only Best New Artist and Song of the Year, or I'm sorry, Record of the Year, but Album of the Year, you know, where he's kind of already managed to move past that sort of, like, oh, flash in the pan status that it would have been easy to ascribe to him in past years.
Well, part of the controversy and what gave the song momentum was that there was this question of, you know, this is hip hop and it's twangy, but is it really country music? And is that really, you know, what country music wants to sound like? Mm-hmm. You know, that was a big challenge, I think, this year, as people were grappling with, you know, who gets to decide what country music is.
Yeah, and I'm so here for that debate. You know, there's so much great country music being made that isn't being played on country radio. And I think, you know, I don't think, you know, Old Town Road was exactly getting played on a lot of country stations, but you know, it is fascinating to see artists kind of coming into country music from the outside and pushing out at its boundaries. I'm excited about that as somebody who loves country music, but when I put on my local country station, I hear this very, very narrow definition of what constitutes country, which is mostly young dudes with monosyllabic names, you know, singing songs about what women are wearing. And so, you know, I love the idea that we're able to come in and have this conversation and try to stretch those boundaries. Because when I fell in love with country music working at the IGA in Iola, Wisconsin in the late 1980s, I fell in love with how flexible it was as a genre. And you would hear artists on country radio that you would never hear on country radio today.
Chris from Manitowoc wants to get in on this conversation about what country music looks like today. Chris, welcome to The Morning Show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really glad you're talking about country music. The outlaw country scene that you listen to on Outlaw Sirius XM, I guess, is something I'm really into. And there's so many great artists starting to come north, finally, like Lucas Nelson, Margo Price, Tyler Childers and Sturgill Simpson are coming, and Sturgill Simpson is just a mind-bending country artist. With even within his own music, he's just changing things every time. He just came out with this new album, Sound and Fury, that's linked to an anime samurai film where they're driving muscle cars. It's just crazy and really, really good stuff. So I'm so excited to go and see him in April in Madison.
Oh, Chris, thanks so much for that perspective. Stephen, what about that?
Yeah, that's a really, really great point. I think Sturgill Simpson's a great example of what I was just talking about the boundaries of country music. Because you listen to that album, Sound and Fury, it sounds kind of like, it almost sounds like ZZ Top. You know, it's not necessarily what you think of as country music in 2019, but it has this really hard-driving quality to it, and that is exciting to hear. And he is a huge star. People have really embraced him. I mean, all the artists that Chris just named, Margo Price is a great example, Tyler Childers is another one. you know, or who are bringing in this kind of rougher Americana sound and like a little bit darker perspectives than you're sometimes hearing in what kind of funnels through to country radio. So I think it's an enormously exciting time for the genre as those boundaries get pushed farther and farther.
Stephen Thompson is a writer, editor, and reviewer for NPR Music, from Wisconsin originally, and frequently appears as a panelist on All Songs Considered. You're part of the conversation with Stephen about music in 2019. Where do you find your music? Do you depend on the radio or reviews to find new music? How have you found your own music streaming platforms? What were your favorites? Call 800-642-1234 to join our conversation. Stephen, women in country music had a big year. Let's take a listen. This is the song, The High Women, from the group of the same name.
We're the high women. We sing a story still untold. We carry the sons you can only hold. We are the daughters of the silent generation.
Stephen, the High Women have topped your list of albums for the year. What is it about this country supergroup?
When this group came out, when it was announced, there's this new supergroup called the High Women, and it's Brandi Carlile and Natalie Hemby and Maren Morris and Amanda Shires, and I saw the name the High Women and I laughed because, you know, the name is kind of a pun on the Highwaymen, the country supergroup from the 80s with Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and Krista Kristofferson, and they released a song called Redesigning Women, which is this you know, really kind of fun and folksy kind of anthem, and I thought, oh, this is fun. This is a light but, you know, and playful kind of trifle. I love all those artists, but then you listen to the record and it digs so much deeper. The song you just heard played is a kind of reworking of the Highwaymen's signature song, which is originally a Jimmy Webb song, and it's amazing how much deeper they take the concept. And then you listen to this record and every song on it just feels like lived in and thought through. There's not a weak moment on this record. I was just absolutely blown away by it and still go back to it again and again.
There's the music, the harmonizing, the ballads, also some fun, twangy numbers. But yeah, the High Women, they're making a statement with their name and the topics that they sing about.
Yeah, there's a song on this record called My Name Can't Be Mama, and it's just about, like, it's like, my name can't be mama today. Like, basically, I need a break from being a parent. And then the different singers are taking different angles on the concept, and Maren Morris kind of comes in like, my name can't be mama, like, I'm not ready to become a parent. And I love all those perspectives and just all these songs about what it's like to be alive. And that's what I love most about country music, is being able to tap in and relate to those emotions and those ideas of just songs about just being alive today. And this record, man, if you have not dug into this record, it's the one of the biggest recommendations that I'm giving everybody at the end of 2019 is if you slept on that record, come back and just soak it up.
You know, additionally, the High Women are unapologetic about barriers for women in country music. Mm-hmm. Are any of those barriers coming down?
I really, really deeply hope so. I mean, country radio isn't necessarily the sort of gatekeeper that it used to be. There are more ways to do end runs around it with streaming services and YouTube, and you can just go online on demand through Chris earlier mentioned Sirius XM, you know, satellite radio as ways to get around it. And I think one reason that people are doing those, people want to listen to the radio, you know, but if they're not finding the music they love, they're going to go elsewhere. And so it's possible for an artist like that to not have a lot of country radio support and still find an audience in 2019 in ways that weren't necessarily as possible 30 years ago.
Our conversation with Stephen Thompson continues this hour. We've got much more to talk about. Also to note, tomorrow the full U.S. House of Representatives begins debate on the question of whether to impeach President Donald Trump. After that, they'll vote on articles of impeachment. The Ideas Network is taking live coverage from NPR beginning at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning. Right now, we're hearing music from Miranda Lambert, a woman who's been a powerhouse in country music since 2005. The song is Locomotive off her 2019 album called Wild Card. What's your favorite song of the year? What artist stood out to you? Call 800-642-1234. You're part of this conversation. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org as we look back at the music from 2019 here on The Morning Show. Tell us what you appreciated about music this year. I'm Keeley Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Irish singer-songwriter Dermot Kennedy debuted his album Without Fear this year, 2019. He got the attention of our guest, NPR music writer and reviewer Stephen Thompson. This is the song Lost by Dermot Kennedy.
I'll need your spine to hide behind, for fear of moments stolen. I don't want to say goodnight, but I still see you in the morning. Still know your heart and still know both your eyes. I could have told you about the long nights. I'm no one.
We're taking a look back at music this year here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. And there's room for you in our conversation. Which albums did you need to have for your collection this year? Which songs did you end up downloading or streaming the most? Tell us about your experience with music in 2019. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR. Stephen, when it comes to all the new albums released in 2019, why does Without Fear stand out to you?
I'm just blown away by the voice, and just the charisma. I think that, I was prepping for South by Southwest, which is this big music festival that happens every March in Austin. And I was digging through, this is in 2018, I was digging through, more than 1,000 songs, just prepping for the festival. And I came across his song out of nowhere. I'd never heard of him. And that voice just leapt out at me, and it's not just necessarily like a guy with an acoustic guitar, just playing like singer songwriter stuff. There's a real tension to it. I saw him perform at a club in the DC area a couple months ago, and it was completely sold out, and almost everyone in the crowd was singing along to every song. And to have that kind of connection with an audience as that new an artist is pretty powerful to see.
What is it about his sound that makes him stand out from other artists trying to do similar things?
Well, I think part of it is, he has this very, very, big, deep, kind of expansive, kind of vein-bursting, kind of vocal delivery, which could be over the top, but he manages to modulate it enough that, he's not just going full blast at all times. He just has a really innate sense of drama, and I think the arrangements, which have little notes of like hip hop, like beats to them, there's something about it that moves beyond the kind of classic structures of kind of Americana folk, whatever, where it's like a guy with a guitar. You think you know what you're getting. There's something a little bit more kind of intense there with Dermot Kennedy.
Very interesting. We also saw the rise of crowdsourced music throughout this decade. Tyler, the Creator, got his start by self-releasing music online. And we have a bit of the song Earthquake, which is from his latest album, Igor. Stephen, how have we seen Tyler, the Creator sound evolve?
Well, it's been fascinating, and you mentioned that he got his start, self-releasing. He was part of a kind of hip-hop collective called Odd Future, and coming up as a purely independent artist, I think has allowed him to kind of go wherever his mind and ideas take him over the course of the decade. And by the end of the decade, you know, he went from this you know, like very, very transgressive, you know, lyrics and you know, this seemed to me to be a very kind of still unformed artistic presence, to at the end of the decade making this really sonically inventive, beautiful, weird record, you know, called Igor, which is partially a hip hop record, and also, you know, melds that, as you heard in the song sample you just heard, with this kind of warped vintage soul sound. And I think the ability to kind of explode genre in his sound grew out of doing it himself, you know, so early in his career. And I think if you're looking for like overall trends that from the decade in music, not just the year in music, the idea of smashing genre has been really interesting to see. You know, we mentioned Sturgill Simpson in country music, you know, earlier in this episode. That's just somebody who's not sitting there thinking, is this country music? I'm not sure he's necessarily even thinking of himself as country music. And I think Tyler, the Creator, I'm sure he thinks of himself as a hip hop artist, but it's not necessarily sticking to one sound, one approach. You know, all these things are getting swirled together and mashed up, and genre as a way of organizing music is becoming less and less useful.
Much like Tyler, the Creator did, have we seen a growth of these artists finding success when they go around those traditional record companies, you know, using online platforms instead of, I guess, following the expected path?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is certainly easier than ever to distribute your music, and it's easier to completely avoid those gatekeepers. But there's still such an incredible din of music. There's just, I mean, there's more music coming out all the time, and so if you want to find that audience, to have people know to click on your SoundCloud page or your YouTube page or whatever, you know, there still winds up being like for most artists, kind of a corporate marketing strategy that you have to kind of tap into, or most artists have to kind of tap into. What you see more with the gatekeepers is established artists will sometimes reach a point where they don't need that machinery at all anymore. And so I would say those gatekeepers, first of all, they're still there, and I think they're still powerful, but the internet has been a democratizing influence. But because the internet is a democratizing influence, it means more and more and more and more musicians are putting out music all the time. And so it's harder and harder to stand out.
We're talking with Wisconsin native, founder and former editor of the AV Club with The Onion, and now NPR music critic Stephen Thompson. And we're taking your calls. Did you see any stellar performances this year? What pop songs got stuck in your head in 2019? You can join the conversation about music anytime this hour. Call 800-642-1234. And I want to welcome Mike from Madison to the conversation now. Mike, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I know you guys have kind of touched on the subject of nostalgia. Now you're talking about crowdfunding, things like that. A band I just backed a Kickstarter for, as well as had the opportunity to see them in concert, is a band called the Cybertronic Spree. And they are a group of people who dress up like the Transformers from the 1986 animated movie, and they play the entire soundtrack, including the instrumental tracks from the soundtrack. And the worst part is they are amazing musicians, like incredible musicians. And they actually just put out earlier this year on YouTube a cover of it's the Viking song from Led Zeppelin. I can never remember the name of it.
I don't have it either. Yeah. Someone will tell us what it is for sure.
But yeah, they released a video, and the woman dressed as RC, the female robot, has an incredible voice and hits every single note. They are incredible. The live shows are amazing. I went to 3 of them this summer, and I felt like a little kid again. It
Mike,
was so cool.
You have found a place, haven't you? And our producer, Keegan, said that it's Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Yes,
what they covered. Wow, very cool. Mike, thank you so much for sharing with us that story about Cybertronic Spree. Stephen Thompson, these sort of experiences, they really catch us, and then we're hooked.
Yeah, and I want to thank Mike for fully stumping me. I have never heard of the Cybertronic Spree.
Now you have.
But I mean, when we talk about, I was just talking about the democratization of the internet. Like, there is a lane for everything now, and like you can dress up as Transformers and stick with a concept like that, and you can find an audience for it. I really want to. I'm going to go on YouTube as soon as we're done taping and check it out.
That sounds great. Yeah, thanks again, Mike. We appreciate it. You know, it's a different kind, but I heard you use the word weird earlier. I've seen weird come up in a couple of articles about music. And I mean, this sounds a little weird, what Mike was talking about. What is that? What is with the word weird right now, and how we are kind of feeling a connection to some things that are not mainstream?
Well, I think we're always looking for something new, right? And I think that's one of the things about, you know, pop music right now. I mean, you can define weird in a lot of different ways. You know, an artist who comes off as weird is going to catch our attention because we haven't necessarily seen that before. And also, we all at various times in our lives, or most of us anyway, feel weird at different points in our lives. And so, you know, tapping into that kind of feeling of being an outcast that certain artists are able to maintain, you know, I think a lot of it is just I personally, as a listener, I'm excited by a sense of newness, by a sense of I haven't just heard this before. I'm not necessarily somebody who spends a lot of time, you know, as much as I experience nostalgia as much as anybody, but what I really love in music is newness. I you know, people will ask, you know, like, what's the best year of music of all time? And I'll always be like, well, 2020, you know, my favorite year of music is always next year. Because I like, you know, constantly being barraged with things I haven't heard before. And so when artists are able to cultivate a sound that incorporates real weirdness or real idiosyncrasy and still, you know, and still find, you know, beauty and majesty and beats and you know, just like emotional pull in their music, I'm really enticed by that.
Wow, yeah, and I can't imagine trying to keep up with everything as it's released at such a rapid pace. It's a little bit intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, you're drinking out of a fire hose, you know,
right.
quite a bit, and it is you're never going to hear everything. There's not enough hours in the year, you know, to hear every piece of music that's made. But if you're constantly open to new discoveries, that's the best way, I think, to go through your life, is just be excited about being surprised. And the surprises are out there.
Stephen Thompson is hitting the highlights of 2019 in music. Still time for you to join the conversation. Which songs have you enjoyed hearing or dancing to throughout the year? Do you sing along to music in the car? Or maybe you just listen to your favorite album? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tapping our feet to the song Harmony Hall from Vampire Weekend off their 2019 release, their fourth studio album called Father of the Bride. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is The Morning Show. But every time a problem ends, another one begins, and the storm was... How can you cry? We're talking about music this year. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're hearing Wisconsin's own Bon Iver. The artist's 2019 album is titled I. We're listening to the song Naeem. This album made NPR Music's Stephen Thompson's Best Of list. Did it make yours? What's your favorite song of 2019? Still room for you in this conversation. Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Stephen, some folks in Wisconsin have been following Bon Iver's music for a long time. How does this latest album compare to what we're used to?
Well, Bon Iver's made four albums, and I know Justin Vernon, the singer, has kind of presented each one as representing a different season, and this is Bon Iver's like autumnal sound. And I mean, I am a huge fan of Bon Iver. I've loved every one of their albums. Every one of their albums has made my top 10 list, and it's not just a Wisconsin thing. It's not just because I'm from Wisconsin. This record really taps into themes of family and friendship and really, you know, his lyrics are often very oblique. You know, he doesn't necessarily write like super linear narratives, but you're able to kind of tap into these feelings of familial warmth with this record that has me keep coming back to it.
And in this 2019 release, Bon Iver experiments with some with sound a lot, kind of similar to that last album, 22 A Million. Should we expect more of that kind of instrumental variety from him in the future?
Yeah, I mean, this record is actually like a little bit warmer and more approachable. It's a little bit more, you know, kind of organic instrumentation. 22 A Million was this really, at times almost industrial sounding, like it just had this... I always described that record as like a scuffed jewel, you know, and this record is a little bit, you know, more organic and approachable. Part of what I love about Bon Iver is you really can't anticipate what the band is going to sound like next, because he's just interested in constantly tinkering with his sound and not really retreading the same ground he's already walked.
Johan emailed us to say that Dream Theater's 14th studio album, Distance Over Time, released one of the best progressive rock albums this year. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, Dream Theater's been around for ages, and man, I mean, the amount of technical proficiency on display in that band, I mean, they have been around for, I think it's probably 30 years. You know, they're just a juggernaut, you know, absolute masters of their craft.
Carly Rae Jepsen is an artist also, maybe not known quite as long, but most known for a hit back in 2012 called Call Me Maybe. She's out with her fourth album this year called Dedicated, and here's a little bit of the song Too Much.
Am I bad for you? 'Cause I live for the fight and the rain and the drama too, boy. And it feels like you never say what you want, and it feels like I can't get through.
Stephen, Carly Rae Jepsen there trying to prove that she has more to offer than that 2012 earworm. What is it about Dedicated?
I mean, she absolutely proves that she has more to offer. I mean, this is you don't necessarily think of a lot of pop records as being like overstuffed, right? You know, you think of a pop singer as like the music is coming in units of 3 minutes, like Call Me Maybe. You know, boy, that could have so easily been a one-hit wonder. This album, Dedicated, is like 15 songs, and each one of them sounds like a hit. You know, she is like a pop savant, and if you are into, you know, kind of what seems like bubblegummy, earwormy music, like she is masterful at it. And I love to listen to music in the car. I love pop music. This was just one that I was slamming all, like, for the better part of the year.
It's easy to connect with her music.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And she has a very approachable persona. You know, she has this kind of you know, like this kind of next door quality that is very easy to tap into, and it makes her music very relatable. And she's just extraordinary. She's, you know, as a songwriter, she is extraordinary at pop craft.
Stephen Thompson is a writer and editor and reviewer for NPR Music, and we are recapping the year 2019 in music, going all over the place. And Phil from McGregor, Iowa, is on the line now. Phil, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. This is a great show. I've listened to Ideas Network in the morning show for decades, and now I'm a retired dairyman instead of in the barn. That's my wake-up alarm, but... I want to shout out the Driftless Region, La Crosse, the Dubuque, Prairie du Chien, the live music scene. And the place that I get my music is buying CDs at shows from these local musicians that play here. And my favorite musical experience is the Friday night river cruise out of Marquette on the maiden voyage from under the bridge. And they travel around past Prairie du Chien there and Big Blue Sky, John Chauvers and his band. favorite Sophia Landis is The Water Song.
Phil, thank you for sharing that with us. Stephen, Phil's got a real connection to local music and these artists who are playing. He's picking up the CDs after their shows.
Yeah, which is I still believe in that so strongly, and I think Phil tapped into something that's really important, which is, you know, when we talk about music, a lot of what I've been talking about over the course of the hour is this idea of like music, you can get it anywhere. You know, you can tap into whatever you want at any time through the power of the internet and these different streaming services, and you can go on YouTube and just instantly on demand hear whatever you want. It's still so important to support your local music scene and go and see music live. The experience of music as a live experience is, you can't duplicate it, you know, through speakers. You really want to go and experience live music, see it in person, interact with your favorite local musicians, and like Phil's doing, spread the word about the stuff that you love, because music still does rise up, you know, through these local scenes, and it's just vital that as fans you support it and pay for it and enjoy it and spread the word.
Yeah, Phil, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. Stephen, 2019 also brought new music and sounds from artists who have been around a while. Want to listen to the song Lark from Angel Olsen off of the new album All Mirrors. You know, Angel Olsen's work has always been a bit moody, maybe dramatic.
Sure.
How is All Mirrors new territory for her?
Every record for her has been new territory, which is, you know, one of the things that I think makes her great. You know, she went into the studio with a bunch of solo demos and just wanted to make something very quiet, or not quiet, but like something very stripped down and barren and raw. And so she recorded these songs and then wound up like building these, like, you know, in collaboration with, you know, with some of her, you know, some other artists, built these like almost kind of orchestral arrangements around them, ended up working with a 14-piece orchestra to create these really grand, you know, three-dimensional songs, you know, so she's somebody who, you know, if you watch her perform with an acoustic guitar, you can watch her Tiny Desk concert that we recorded at NPR Music, and you just feel this real intensity of her artistry, but then she's also capable of presiding over something really grand and beautiful that still has that intensity to it.
Derry emailed to say that they loved Dermot Kennedy this year, talked about Dermot earlier,
nice.
And also loved AJR and Barnes Courtney. And apparently, Terry also got to see the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field this year. So quite the breadth of music opportunities there with Terry.
There's just so much great stuff out there. I think, first of all, I think this has been a great year for music, but there's just never been more of it. There really is something for everyone.
All right. And speaking of something from everyone, we're going to go out on Baby Shark. We just couldn't resist. It's the kid's song about a family of sharks that went viral this year. If you're a parent or a Washington Nationals fan, you may have had this in your head for the majority of 2019. Stephen, thank you so much for sharing your music expertise with us.
It is a pleasure to be here. I'm glad that this is the song that will be going through everyone's head at the end of this segment.
You know what? We do what we can here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Stephen, take care.
Thank you, Keely.
Stephen Thompson is a writer, editor, and reviewer for NPR Music. He's a Wisconsin native and frequently appears as a panelist on All Songs Considered. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to Baby Shark on the Ideas Network. Safe at last, do 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 do. Safe at last, do 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 do. Safe at last.